Welcome to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the very same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So Kirk calls me in 2015, I think it was. He said, Eric, I think the district superintendent is going to call you shortly, and he's going to ask you if you'd be willing to serve this church. I hope you'll say yes, because I have a vision. I have a vision for this church, and it's an incredible vision. And Kurt told me about his vision, that this church would be the spiritual heart of a community. And I was in. I was in, and I said, this is what I became a minister to do. When we came here in 2005, it was to be a vendor. I'd been in the vendor community for 19 years prior to that and had no aspirations for ministry, had no idea that that was in the cards. I was trying to figure out, when I received that phone call, how to tell Brenda. We're going to leave Iowa, her home state. And I think one of the first challenges she said was, yeah, Eric, but the schools, what kind of schools could Arkansas possibly have? And we looked, and they weren't bad. In fact, they were better than the Dubuque schools. So we decided to come and look, and this turned out to be a place we thought we could make home. And then we had to figure out how to tell our kids. Garrett was 12, a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. That's hard, 12, 9, and 8. 4-year-old, she had no idea really what was happening, but how do you tell your kids we're going to pick up and move and everything that you knew was going to change? So we did what every good parent does. We bribed them. Brenda did a beautiful job of ordering Razorback t-shirts and footballs and stuffed animals, and we had a big Razorback party on the porch. And we told them about this new exciting thing, and they were going to get a swimming pool, because in Arkansas, you can have a swimming pool because it's warm there. In Dubuque, it was, you know, not so much. So the kids were kind of excited about the pool, and that pool became a great blessing for our family. We became the house where all the kids hung out for 10 years. 10 years, we had the house where all the kids hung out. And we knew where they were every day from May through October, whenever we closed the pool, they were in our backyard. And that was a great blessing, but it was also the people who built the pool. Because I got to meet Scott Eccleston. He owned S&S Pools at the time. And would visit with him every once in a while. And then I saw him in my martial arts studio when I left the vendor world and Brenda and I decided to do a new thing. Scott brought his son and we taught his son for 4 years and got to know him through that. And then one day Scott told me that he had an opportunity to perhaps be the director of landscape and architecture at Crystal Bridges. And that's, he got that job. And afterwards, I didn't see Scott all that much. But he had sold the pool business, started a landscaping company, and the guy that was taking care of my yards was a guy named Clay. And Clay was a really, really a great guy. He talks more than I do. So to get the two of us together, all we did is stand in the yard and talk. And after a while, I realized I was paying him to talk. And it was okay because he was just a wonderful guy. And one day, and I don't remember how the conversation came apart, probably because I was in seminary and we were talking about God, and he said, "Can I tell you my God story?" And God stories are great. They're always great, so of course. And he said, "When Scott Eccleston hired me, I had nothing to do with God, wanted nothing to do with God." And Scott said, "That's okay, but we do a devotional every day at 6 a.m. Before we go out, I pull the entire team together, and we do a devotional. And you don't have to participate. You don't have to listen, but you got to be there." And Clay said, "Okay, if you're going to pay me for just sitting there, that's fine." And for 2 years, Clay said that he felt like he was just getting paid for sitting there. And it was great. And I don't remember exactly what the issue was. And it doesn't really matter exactly what the issue was because you guys all have similar issues sometimes. The bottom fell out of his life. Everything fell out. And he had no hope. Absolutely no hope, no idea what to do, but he had some place to turn. He went to Scott. He said, "Scott, what do I do?" And Scott said, "Start listening during the devotionals." And then Scott started mentoring him and discipling him and teaching him what a relationship with God was like. And then when Scott decided he was ready to move on, that his ministry in the landscaping business was done. He was being called to this ministry, his dream come true, to landscape at Crystal Bridges. He gave his business to Clay. Gave it to Clay. Clay, standing in my front yard, said, "Eric, you know, the economy was, we could see the writing on the wall. We knew it was going to get bad. But he didn't have to give it to me. But he gave it." That's the church. That's the church in action. Because the church is called to teach disciples, who teach disciples for the transformation of lives, communities, and the world. Scott Eccleston models the church. And now Clay has moved on from the landscaping business, and he works at Crystal Bridges. He oversees all the landscaping, and I think Scott oversees everything. All of the grounds and buildings. So when you go to Crystal Bridges, know that every plant you see, every path that you walk on is designed by two guys who are being the church. I tell that story because it's been such an impact on me and shaping me and helping me understand that, yes, this is the kind of calling that I need. I didn't need to leave the retail industry. I felt a tremendous calling. I didn't need to leave the martial arts studio. I felt a tremendous calling. And it's being reaffirmed every week as I visit with people and I watch Jesus transform lives. What we're doing here is not a box to check off on Sunday. Jesus is here with us, massively transforming lives. And the reason I picked the scripture today is because it's a picture of the church. The Beatitudes are Jesus' vision of what the church is. Not could be, but will be. Notice how many times Jesus says will in the Beatitudes. The church is what, the Beatitudes are what the church will become. Ryan, would you give us that first slide, please? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. And when Jesus says pray, he says pray that God will give you the best gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I believe blessing means receiving the Holy Spirit. So having received the Holy Spirit are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now this is a verse that I have been working on for as long as I can remember. What in the world does that mean? And I think I've finally come to an understanding, and I think actually Jesus has given me this understanding, that he's speaking in analogy here. As Jesus so often speaks in analogy or metaphor, he's saying, filled with the Holy Spirit are those who are like the poor. And then the next question is, well, what are the poor like? Well, at Jesus' time as today, the poor are the people who have nothing. They have nothing, so they have nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit are so filled with God, they have nothing to lose. They have no thing because they have given everything to God. They have God. They don't worry about things. Scott Eccleston modeled this. When he was ready to move from one segment of his life, he gave his business away. Countercultural to the extreme. In the world I came from, that was heresy. As much as you possibly can for the short-term growth and short-term stock growth. That's the way of the world. Jesus is calling us to something different. The poor also have another characteristic in all times and all places. They have nothing to prove. Nothing to lose and nothing to prove. How can you go to a cocktail party and brag about how successful you are if you're poor? I mean, you don't walk up in whatever clothes that you can find and try to tell everybody how successful you are. You don't have to prove anything. You just are. That is what Jesus is calling us to be like. And Jesus modeled that for us. He went to the cross with nothing. He had nothing to lose. The Romans took his last shirt, and then he gave up his body. And he had nothing to prove. He went into Nazareth, his hometown, his home church, his family and friends that knew him intimately. And he offered them a powerful truth. The God you envision is not the God that I know. And then he took out the Bible. Well, he took out a scripture. And he used scripture to prove to them that what he said was true. That God loves your enemies, the Assyrians, the ones that you hate, God loves. That God loves your enemies, the Gentiles, the ones you hate, God loves. And you know the story, you know what they did. Change is so hard. But Jesus didn't have anything to prove. He didn't argue with them. When Scott hired Clay, he didn't have anything to prove. Clay, I'm not going to argue with you about my faith. I just want you to be here and listen. And for 2 years, Clay just listened until he was ready. And then he saw what the church was like, and he saw what it was like when somebody modeled what it meant to be a disciple. And he started to know the truth. Ryan, the next slide, please. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The church is called to mourn. We quite simply are called to mourn. There's a world filled of hurting people. We are called to go sit with them. We can't heal them. Maybe some of you have had the blessing of hearing Jesus say, I want you to heal that person. I haven't. But I can sit with somebody, put my arm around them and listen to them and mourn with them. In terrible situations where words can't fix anything, we can mourn. And in some powerful way that I tell you is true, I experience Christ in the morning. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We just heard Brian Zahn talk about the meek or the humble, not needing to prove to the world that we are right, not needing to force our opinions. We just model our opinions. We just are because we have Jesus and we know it's true. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Someday I'll write books, books and books and books on how Jesus is powerfully present. And that the more we give to Jesus, the more that relationship builds. Because where we spend our time is what we will become. If we hunger and thirst and we give ourselves powerfully to that hunger and thirst for Jesus, we will meet Jesus and we will experience Jesus. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Again, this is what the church is called to be. Filled with the Holy Spirit are those who are merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We just sang this. What is pure heart? Oh, God, give me a clean heart, a pure heart. A pure heart is an undivided heart. Let me see no one else but you, Jesus. The words we sang are true. Scripturally, a pure heart is an undivided heart, and we see it beginning in Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your soul, everything that you are. Jesus says the same words in a more challenging way. You cannot worship God and worship mammon. You can't. Now, mammon is not so easily translated as we think it is. Mammon does not mean cash or wealth. Mammon means the desire for affluence, to be rich and famous and powerful. Not my words, Jesus' words. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Again, as Brian Zan said, Jesus didn't come back looking for vengeance. Jesus came back forgiving. Even Peter, and I'm quite certain every single one of the disciples knew they were forgiven, that Jesus left no doubt that everything was forgiven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm quite certain that Jesus said these words because he knew what he was offering as a vision of the church. Now, these are the disciples he's talking to, the 12 disciples of the first church. He's telling them, this is what I imagine you will become. And when you do this, it's so countercultural. It's so different from the world. They will persecute you. But blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you, because they've always done this. You know Scripture, every single prophet. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then Jesus finishes with, you are the salt and you are the light. Nobody who has salt puts it in the jar and leaves it in the pantry. You use it to salt the world. I can't make you do this, but if you choose to, the Holy Spirit will guide you and the world will be transformed. You are the light. Nobody that has the light of Christ puts it in a building, covers it up, and says, we sure hope people join us. No, we shed the light into the world. We go out and we transform the world. That's what the church is, a transforming, salted, light-filled organism that goes into the world. The last few weeks, this is the fourth week, we've been working through Adam Hamilton's book on the Apostles' Creed. Today at 4, we'll be covering the forgiveness of sins, but we began last week discussing what is the church. And Adam finishes his chapter on the church with some powerful words. Now, this is the largest Methodist church in the United States. And he says, the church I serve is a large congregation. 10 years ago, I challenged our members, what if, when people think of our church, they don't first think of the size of our membership, but instead of the size of our heart and the way we serve the community? What if we were known not for our average weekly worship attendance, but instead for the hours our members volunteer to address the needs of the city? And what if we were known not for how well we love each other, but instead for how willing we are to welcome and love those outside the walls of our church? Once again, I turn to the words of Jesus to his disciples. The earliest expression of the church. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before people so that they can see the good things you do. Why? So they can praise your Father who is in heaven. Jesus has a vision for the church that we call the Beatitudes. Adam Hamilton has a vision for his church that it will be known as the church that serves. Our vision for this church is before you, to become the spiritual heart of Bentonville, a mission station to equip disciples for building relationships and connecting people who are far from home or feel far from God. We can do that. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. We can do anything. We can become a mission station that transforms Bentonville. And instead of being known as the church that sells pumpkins, which is what we used to be known as the pumpkin church, we will become known as the church that is the heart of Bentonville. Whenever anybody talks about where you go to church, somebody else will say, "Oh, I've heard a lot about that church." In fact, we're starting to hear that right now. The more this congregation moves out into the community and transforms lives and touches lives and does crazy things like give away businesses, the more this church will be known as the spiritual heart of Bentonville. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.